Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
The book of St. John, chapter 13, when you get there, we're going to start reading with verse 15. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. St. John, chapter 13, starting with verse 15. For I have given you an example. I want you to remember that phrase right there. I have given you an example. This is Jesus talking. That ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I'm going to speak for a little bit this morning on the thought. And I know you've heard this before, but the Lord laid it on my heart. We'll do our best to deliver it this morning. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Notice he said, I have given you an example. And he also said, do as I have done. And that last phrase, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus is our ultimate example that we should be looking towards today. Amen? There's a lot of things and a lot of voices, a lot of people we could be looking at, a lot of voices we could be listening to. And if we do that, a lot of times we're going to get ourselves, well, most of the time we'll get ourselves steered in the wrong direction. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus as our example and do as he did, we'll be all right this morning. I'm thankful that there is that example that he left us. And there's a lot of people that want to hold the name tag Christian. And many folks forget what that name tag means. But Christian means to be Christ-like. And the more I thought about this, as the Lord gave it through me throughout the week and little bit by little bit coming together in the message, I thought if there's ever a time that the church world as a whole is missing it, they're missing it on this one key thing. The Bible in the Old Testament said to rehearse these things over and over and over in your children's ears so they'll not forget it. And I say shame on the church world for not doing that. There are some things that we as pastors and we as evangelists and preachers just take for granted, Brother Brown, because we've heard them all of our life and we just assume that everybody's going to remember them. But shame on us for not preaching on certain key things more than what we do. And I think a lot of times because we fail to do that, we always want to ask the question, I don't understand why our kids are doing this, and I don't understand why our kids are doing that. But I believe the church is mainly to blame for that because we've let down from preaching and teaching on things that are in the Bible that God has warned us against. And the thing that I want you to remember throughout this message this morning, other than the title, What Would Jesus Do?, is I want you to remember that he is our example. And if we're going to say that we are a Christian today, if we're going to tell people that we're a Christian, then really what we're telling people is that we are Christ-like. Amen? That's what we're telling people. We are Christ-like. And if we are Christ-like, then as Jesus said, he said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. That's the key element this morning. In John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow somebody else. They follow me. That's how he knows his sheep. Because if you take a regular shepherd in real life, and he's out there with that flock, you can go out there, a stranger can walk out there and holler, and them sheep will ignore him. But you let that shepherd give that peculiar call, and those sheep will follow him wherever he goes. And that's what Jesus is saying here. My true people. Those true Christians, they know my voice. And another, they will not follow. And keep that in mind this morning. John chapter 12 and verse 26, he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my what? my servant be. If any man serve me, I like this last phrase, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. There's two things that Jesus commanded us to do. And really, when you follow the Gospels, you see it all through the Gospels in Jesus' teachings. Two big things that he commanded us to do. Number one, he commanded us to love one another. He commanded us to love one another. And number two, he commanded us, and now this is a whopper right here. He commanded us to be obedient. Be quiet on that, brother. He commanded us, Brother Jimmy, you was doing good when you talked about loving. I was okay with that. But when you said be obedient now. But now listen, Jesus said we've got to love. We got to love our fellow man just as I have loved you, he said. And then we've got to be willing to be obedient to what the Lord says to do. Now, therein lies the big problem with the youth today. It is. I've got family members that I'm speaking from experience here, folks. The young people today do not want to be obedient. One of the biggest things that I hear more often than not is, well, prove it to me in the Bible. Show me where it's at in the Bible. I've heard them ask people that before, Brother Dylan. People that's been in the way for a long time, sometimes that's the problem, they've been in the way for a long time. But people that's been in the way for a long time, they'll ask them and they'll say, and they don't know what to say. Shame on us for not knowing the Word of God any better than that. We have a right to know what the Word of God says. And I think many times our children have been mistreated on our account. We want to get angry when they ask us a question that we can't answer. And rather than getting frustrated with them, we need to answer those questions. Because again, like I said before, in the Old Testament, God commanded them through the law. He said, rehearse it over and over and over in the ears of your children. We've got to be willing to do that. Now, I know there's a lot of pastors today that have diligently taught their kids. They have trained them the way, like the Bible says, train your children in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from. Somebody might say, well, Brother Jimmy, my kids, some of them aren't in. Well, they're not old yet. Give them time. Amen. God's still dealing with them. He's going to draw them in sooner or later because his word is faithful and true. As long as you've done what you're supposed to do, God will do the rest. Is that all right this morning? So two things that Jesus commanded us, and if we're willing to follow him and be his servant, then we're going to be willing to love, and we're going to be willing to be obedient. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, now listen to this, folks. By this shall all men know that ye are my what? Disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 15, verses 10 through 12, Jesus said, if, there's that word if again, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. I like that word, remain. Listen to that. That my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be what? Full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Basically what Jesus is saying is, when the Father sent me, I obeyed. Whatever he told me to do, I was obedient to it. And he's saying, I am not greater than my Father, and the servant is not greater than his master. And so if I was willing to be obedient to the Father, then you must be willing to be obedient to me. And the key element once again here is, we must be willing to love one another. That's the great example that God gave us. God's word also reminds us that we are not of this world. And again, therein lies another problem where in the Christian, I'm speaking of the Christian world as a whole today, is people forget whose kids they belong to. I've often heard growing up, and I've heard my own siblings say this to mom, and Uncle Leroy, his kids don't have to do it. Of course, the answer was always the same. Well, you're not Uncle Leroy's kids now, are you? Yeah, but Uncle John buys them Pepsi. Well, you're not Uncle John's kids, are you? And I believe that's what the Lord is saying this morning. When we want to question his commands. Well, the world doesn't do that. They don't make their children dress a certain way. They don't tell their children they can't do this or do that or do the other thing. And I believe we, if we listen close enough, we could hear Jesus saying, well, you're not the world's children now, are you? You're a peculiar people. Thank God. In John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, again, Jesus said, I have given them thy word. He's talking to the Father here when he was in the garden praying. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray, get this now, church, I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Aren't you glad Jesus went to bat for you and I? He wasn't just praying for those disciples of that time, but he was looking way down through the ages of time when one day a church was going to be established by Pastor James and Sister Brenda Dillon, and the law was going to continue to be preached, and the joys of the Lord was going to continue to be preached. These precious promises he was given, he was praying not just for his disciples of that day, but he was praying that same prayer for each and every one of us as far as time expands, because each and every one that names the name of Jesus Christ and says, I am one of his, he's constantly praying to the Father, Lord, keep them from the evil. Don't take them out of the world. That time's yet to come when the rapture takes place. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil that is in the world. And that is very key this morning, and I want you to remember that. Now, there are things that Jesus had in mind when he made that statement, and I want to take time and cover some of these. And this is where it enters into where I was talking to you about how that a lot of times we see our children going astray because we don't tell them. We don't remind them of what is in the word. And what the word says, thou shalt not do. And the things that defile the temple of God, I want to deal with some of those this morning. The very first thing I want us to deal with is this subject of fornication and adultery. Fornication and adultery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 9, the word of God tells us, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Paul was speaking of himself here. In other words, he was not married. He chose to be to be that way before God, to devote his life to God. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? Nowadays, it's kind of like back in the 60s when they had the free love thing going on, you know. If you speak to any teenager in the world today in secular schools, and if you was to walk up to them and tell them, well, what you're doing, you're committing fornication, they would laugh in your face because they see absolutely nothing wrong with having multiple partners and doing whatever they feel to do. And the reason for this is the word of God has never been taught to them. That's shameful. Many of those teens have no father figure at home because the fathers that they have get what they want, and they move on. And they leave the mother to raise the child. And so the only example that they have is that poor example. Amen. But the word of God tells us here through the teachings and the writing of the Apostle Paul. He said, I would that you remain unmarried like me, but if you can't contain, it's better that you marry than to burn. The next thing I want us to look at, and this is something that is very widely accepted in our world today, but the word of God still calls it wrong. In fact, the word of God calls it an abomination. And that is this subject of homosexuality and a lesbianism. In Leviticus 18:22, the word of God says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20 and 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. But now let's go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Apostle Paul again says, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." The word of God, from the Old Testament to the New, forbids such things. And these are subjects that need to be rehearsed into the ears of our children. Regardless of what the world is doing, regardless of what the secular schools are teaching, the Bible says to come out from among these things and be separate. Amen. We can rebel if we choose, but there's coming a day when we're going to give an account for those things that we know better for. We're all going to stand, the Bible tells us, before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account for those good things that we've done, but as well, we're also going to give an account for those things that we've done that are evil. The next thing I want us to talk about, and believe it or not, this is in a lot of churches today. And it doesn't happen inside the church house, but there are people that get up on the platform and sing and play music and do various different things, and then you find out when they're home, this is going on. Transvestites and cross-dressers. Deuteronomy 22:5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination to the Lord thy God." There are people who think it's all right to put on a woman's apparel and wear them and parade around, and they think it's funny, they think it's cute. But the Bible says it's an abomination. These are the little foxes, so to speak, that spoil the vine for our youth of today. That's why everything goes and nothing's wrong. And they call us old fogies and religious fanatics because we preach the truth. But it needs to be preached more than what it is. You don't hear this very often anymore, Pastor Dylan. We go, like I've said before, when we go to sing, and in the past when we've evangelized, been to many different churches. And every time I've heard them get up and preach, never on anything like this. Never on anything like this. And you know, in the Old Testament, God warned Samuel about this. "Don't let them forget," he said. "Rehearse it over and over." And how many knows the best way to learn something is through being repetitive? I mean, it doesn't matter what you're talking about, if it's a job or whatever. The more you're repetitive and the more you go over that thing over and over again, and even if it's a hands-on thing, the more you do it. I remember the first time I changed oil in my car for the first time. It was a mess, brother. I got oil everywhere. But the more I did it, I got pretty good at it. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. If we don't rehearse this over and over in the ears of our children, then guess who's going to rehearse it over and over to them? You guessed it, the secular world. And instead of being called a peculiar people and hearing the voice of Jesus saying, "You're one of mine," now they're hearing the voice of the world saying, "No, you're one of ours." You've been brainwashed. You've been re-educated. And that's what's happening to a lot of the youth today. And that's why when you try to talk to them about certain things that I'm going to be getting into, that's more along the lines of those things today that are broadly accepted, and they will argue you tooth and nail about it, it's because they have no biblical knowledge of these things. Shame on us for not teaching our children. The next one I want us to look at is this terrible one known as pornography. You heard me say a few weeks ago when I was preaching that there was a woman evangelist who held a series of meetings for married couples, and it was specifically for ministers. Nobody else there but ministers, pastors and their wives, evangelists, missionaries, what have you. And before she even started in her message, and I know I've told you this before, but maybe you're here and you didn't hear me tell this. Before she got in her message, she said, "I've got a question that I want to ask." And some of the people that were there said they could tell when she walked up to the microphone this particular night, something wasn't the same. You could see it all over that God had been dealing with her about something. And she said, "I'm going to ask you to be brutally honest with yourself tonight, and I'm going to ask for a show of hands of how many people sitting here tonight." Now, mind you, there was somewhere around the neighborhood of 5,000 to 6,000 people in this place, all clergy, all ministers of some sort. And she said, "I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if any of you have ever viewed pornography." And about 80% of the place, the hands went up. She said, "Now put your hands down." She said, "I'm going to ask an even tougher question. How many of you that just raised your hands have viewed pornography in the past week?" 50% of those hands went back up. Clergy, people that are standing in the pulpits, people that are preaching the word. What does the Bible say about it? Matthew 5:28. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." Just to look upon them. And so for people to say, well, it's okay to go online and view things because you're not hurting anybody. Well, you're hurting a lot of things. You're hurting yourself, you're hurting God, and you're hurting your spouse. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then once lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." John 2 and 16, Jesus said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of what? The world." So they've come too late to tell me, "Brother Tom, there's no Bible against pornography." There's many more scriptures that we could read this morning, but for the sake of time, we won't regarding that one. But it's a big one, and it's something that should be addressed more than what it is. This next one is also what I refer to as one of the little foxes that spoils the vine. People tend to overlook this and not count it as bad, but how many knows that God counts sin as sin regardless of what it is? And it is known as profanity. I'm going to tell this. My biological father, which to be honest with you, I think he's reprobate now. But my biological father, when I was a child and we went around singing, used to get up before hundreds of people and sing, "Come on over to the winning side." But on the way there and on the way back, us kids got cussed out tooth and nail by him. And the sad part about it is most of the people in the church couldn't tell the difference. They backed him, brother. They backed him. What does the Bible say about profanity? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Word of God says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." What if our little ears at that time, Brother Dylan, would have heard what our mother pumped in our hearts consistently at home? What if our father figure would have replaced those filthy words with scriptures? What if they would have built, how much farther down the road could we have been? I don't know. But I'm saying it to say this. It's a sin as well as anything else is a sin. And if we're going to say we're a Christian, we're saying we're Christ-like, we're saying we're following his example, we're loving him, and we're keeping his commandments, then we shouldn't be cussing and carrying on. "Well, that's just my Irish coming out." Well, you need to blot out the Irish. These next three are literally killing the world today. Tobacco, alcohol, and drugs. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you if you are what?" If you are what? A Christian. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Well, this is my body, I'll do what I want to do. Well, first of all, you're wrong on both accounts. It's not your body. It belongs to God. And you won't do what you want to do because there's coming a day when the only thing you're going to be able to do is quake in your boots when you stand before Jesus. The book of Revelation, and I won't go there, but it uses a word sorcery, but it doesn't mean sorcery in what you think. And you look it up in the Greek, it means drug use. The world has been taken by storm through drug use. There's so much of it today, our government has said it's impossible to stop it. There's no way they can stop it. Multi-billion dollar business. And it's destroying not just the United States of America, but it's destroying the world. One of the things that Satan and the Antichrist will use in the last day to bring strong delusions, because it does something to the mind. It impairs the ability of the mind to conceive what is reality. And that's why so many young people are turning to it. They've got abusive fathers at home. They've got abusive mothers at home. They've got things going on at home that they can't deal with. They've got things going on with friends that they can't deal with. They've got things going on in whatever part of their life it is that they can't deal with. So they turn to drugs and alcohol as a mind-altering substance so that they can go into this fantasy world. And the sad irony of that is many of them, when they go too far to the point of overdose and they're in that fantasy world, Pastor Dylan, think about it this way. They fall asleep in this world in that condition, only to wake up with a devil in their face. That's the lie of it. That's the whole lie of the whole thing. This next one is also Walt Disney right now is pushing it to the hilt. It's being taught in our schools, witchcraft and sorcery. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are what? An abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. God takes this serious. These next ones, I wish some of them were in here this morning, but they're not. It's all right, we're taping it, aren't we? Body piercings and tattoos. Woo! Oh, boy, I hit a nerve there, didn't I? Come on. Body piercings and tattoos. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 5. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Leviticus 19 and 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, for I am the Lord thy God. Well, Brother Jimmy, I felt led of the Lord to get a tattoo on my arm to remember my dead child or my dead grandpa or my dead grandma. They don't need you putting marks upon your body to remember them. There's better ways to remember people than to mark up the temple of the Holy Ghost that God has made. And the Bible, I might add, says it was made perfectly. God does not need our help. We're not making it better when we do that. Leviticus 21 and 5 and Leviticus 19 and 28. God said he made us perfectly. And the world is telling our youth, you can be a witness for Jesus. What a sad witness when we can't open up our mouth and tell someone about the Lord. When we got to parade around with a sign or a t-shirt that says property of Jesus Christ. You know, I think sometimes the world looks at that and thinks, how weak, how lame. They're not afraid to get in our face, Sister Judy, and use them four-letter words. The gays and the lesbians are not afraid to march right down the city hall street with their colors on and being proud of what they are. I think it's time that us old-fashioned, heartfelt Pentecostals rise up and say, I'm proud of who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm one of them. You see, the problem is they're trying too hard to be a friend of the world. Yep. We're not to be a friend of the world. Jesus said the world hated me, and guess what? I've got a news flash for you, disciples. They're going to hate you too because of me. Anyone that tells you it's easy to become a Christian is a liar and the truth ain't in them. It's not. Anybody can pray their sinner's prayer, but it takes a real man or a real woman, as Brother Truby used to say, to swim upstream. Any old dead fish can float down, but it takes a live one to swim up. It takes a live one, Sister Donna, to look them in the eye and say, I am one of those peculiar kind that doesn't believe in marking my body, that doesn't believe in smoking cigarettes, that doesn't believe in cussing my kids out, that doesn't believe in engaging in illicit sex and drugs and alcohol. I'm one of them. And if these churches want to continue to make compromises so that they can have a big crowd, let them go ahead. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's not familiar. And more importantly, it's not popular, but it's right. Brother Carmen said, it might be tight, but it's right.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
to say is what changed.